Hello, everyone. Welcome. Paula V here. Welcome to another episode of Why Am I So Happy? Today, joining me is an inspirational voice in the world. I am so excited to share with you today, Susan Jacoby. Let me tell you a little bit about Susan. She is an international spokesperson, shifting the global consciousness for adult survivors of childhood trauma. She is a radio host of Conversations That Heal, and she is the author of How to Love Yourself, The Hope After Child Abuse. She is a speaker, and a healing mentor. She does so much for others. First off, Susan, I want to say welcome to the show. I am so happy to have you here today.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Yes, so am I. I have been so excited for this chat. I would love to begin, Susan, with just having you share a bit of your background and what has brought you to the place you're at today.
A very long and tedious journey, one that has taught me many, many lessons. And as I look back on my journey, I can see how the lessons have propelled me to where I am now. I think it was in 98 where I started my therapy for healing from childhood trauma, child abuse in my case. And it was, the abuse was 18 years and like, the first 18 years of my life. And it was within the family. So there's a lot of generational history there. There's a lot of alcoholism. There's a huge, ugly, cruel mess, and it's just taken me since 98 to really be able to acknowledge it, to own it, to realize that this is my story, to step into the arena of being the voice for so many others who aren't able to voice their feelings, their anger, their life. And so that's what has really been my fire to keep me going, knowing that I'm helping other people because I know what it's like to be where they are and not be able to voice my emotions.
Yes, yes. So what brought you to wanting to help others that have gone through trauma? What brought you to want to do that?
There was a time, not too long ago, I would say, you know, in the past 2 or 3 years, where each day has brought us as a society one step closer to removing the shame around talking about child abuse and all of the damage that goes with that. Prior to that, which was in the depths of my healing, nobody was really talking about it. There was a few books out, but you know, it gets really complicated because as a survivor of child abuse, you are set up to be isolated. That's part of the grooming, if you will. It's part of the power. And when you add on top of the isolation, the depression, the shame, all of that magnifies the loneliness. And I was part of that. You know, that was part of my scenario. And there came to a point where I was really angry because my therapist was always saying, you know, you're not alone in this. And I felt really alone. I mean, it's not like, you know, you go out to the street and announce that you're a survivor of child abuse, you know. So that's why I wanted to start the radio show and the book, to let people know that they are perfectly normal for the abnormal event.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's absolutely remarkable that you are doing what you're doing now and writing a book and have your show. Tell us about your radio show.
Well, thank you for asking. It started out as Conversations That Heal was really focused on child abuse, because that was my history. But what I came to realize was that what I talk about on the show really reaches out to everybody. And so I bring in guest experts who have conversations with me about ways we can all change our way we think, feel, and act. Because they all, you know, they stack upon each other, the way you think about something, and then you feel, and then out of those comes your actions. And there are other ways to think, feel, and act to any given situation. And so that's why I'm so passionate about it, because I want people to know that their life, the way their life is at a given point, isn't the destiny of their life.
So would you say that you want to help them understand that even though they've had the trauma that they've gone through as a younger person, that doesn't have to be the direction of the rest of their life?
Absolutely.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So with your radio show, Susan, do people call in and ask questions, or do you interview other people?
I've structured the show to do 15-minute, I call them healing and inspirational healing messages. And so there's no time for taking any call-ins.
Gotcha.
And, you know, eventually, like right now, it's just I air the show every Wednesday at 12:30 Pacific time, and then it becomes, it goes into iTunes and it becomes archived, so it's always there.
Fantastic. Please tell the listeners how they can connect and listen to your show.
Oh, sure. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You can go to, I guess there's several ways, conversationsthatheal.com, or go to my website, SusanJacoby.com, and you'll see a link to Conversations That Heal. My last name is J-A-C-O-B-I, B as in boy, Jacoby, S-U-S-A-N, Susan. Or you can also go to iTunes and put in Conversations That Heal, and the archived shows will appear. And lastly, you can go to blogtalkradio.com and do a search for Conversations That Heal.
I love it. I love it. Susan, could you give us a few examples of what might be a few messages that you share?
Oh, sure, sure. So I would say lately I've been focusing on this connection to our body. And I also have some shows on generational trauma, which wasn't really something that I thought about. I mean, I didn't even know about it. It existed. But the more experts I talk to, the more I see that it really is a part of the root of the family, the generational family. And when I say generational trauma, it's like, you know, when a family will have, let's say, diabetes in past family members will have diabetes, and that gene gets passed on. And it's the same thing with trauma, because whenever trauma enters a child, it changes the way the brain develops, and it also changes the way that the body stores the trauma. And then that trauma, it will change the cell, and then that cell will multiply, and it just gets stored in the body. And so the way to break that pattern is to talk about it, which, you know, seems so simple, and yet it's not simple. It's very hard, and yet you can change the way the pathways of your brain so that you can change the structure of your cell. Yeah. I know that might be a long answer, but
yeah,
I think it's just remarkable.
Yeah. And so would you say many people that go through childhood trauma really hold that in and don't talk about it?
Oh, I'm not going to venture out and say every single person,
mm-hmm.
But I will venture out and say that a majority of people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, within that statement, there are people who don't know that it happened to them, and so obviously they can't talk about it, and yet some of the consequences of the way they think and they act out replicate that trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a whole nother conversation. But and I'm not saying that just because you act a certain way that means that you automatically are a survivor of child abuse. I'm not saying that at all. It's just another way to notice its ramifications, the abuse on your life. And, you know, another, and I know this kind of circles around what we were talking about earlier, but there are thousands of survivors who don't survive. And I've always considered myself very blessed to have survived my abuse. And I feel like for the ones of us who have survived it and are able to talk about it, we almost owe it to the people who haven't survived it. It's like, in a way, it becomes, we become their angels. We become their voice so that people know what their life was like. And I don't want to imply that, you know, that's like, you know, that's your goal, to take care of these people that haven't survived. That's not the point at all. The point is, you know, sometimes we need to think outside of ourselves in order to be able to look within ourselves. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. My gosh, you are just an inspiration, Susan. And, you know, the fact that you are doing what you do and making a difference for others and others that have gone through trauma. Oh, I just have to give you a big thank you. Just a lot of love and gratitude.
Well, thank you for that. And you know, I have to tell you that I hope you're a listener. Well, I'm not going to say anything before this, because this is part of who I am, and I'm not going to apologize for this. But a lot of this, I get my strength from talking with God. And when I was when I was six and I was being attacked, Jesus came to me and said to me to keep my eyes on him, that he would be with me, he would stay with me, and he never has left me.
Oh.
And there has been maybe 20, 30 years where I left him, but he was always there, which is why I'm alive. And I know that may sound dramatic, but it's
mm-hmm.
the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I really resort to my strength from God, from Jesus, because this isn't easy.
Yes. Oh, that is so beautiful to hear. Oh my gosh, that is so awesome, Susan. Well, everyone, we have to pop out for a break. Susan and I will be right back. Susan, thank you so much. Be right back with you, everyone. Hello, everyone. This is Paula Vale, founder of Wellness Inspired and host of the Why Am I So Happy show on BVS Radio. My passion is sharing the beautiful healing modality of Reiki with the world. I help you reach a new level of self-awareness and create a more confident and empowered version of yourself. Learn how Reiki will change your life. Go to wellnessinspired.com. When you live a life with love and compassion, you allow your blessings to manifest. Check out my Reiki training and Reiki practitioner mentoring program, and look for my soon-to-be-released ebook, Why Am I So Happy? At wellnessinspired.com and the paulavnetwork.com. Big hugs to everyone. Paula V. Hello, everyone. Paula V here. Welcome back. I am here today with Susan Jacoby, and she is sharing just some beautiful messages in regard to childhood trauma and being a survivor of childhood trauma. She has a radio show. She has written an amazing book. This book she's going to tell us about in this segment. I am so excited to hear about your book, How to Love Yourself, The Hope After Child Abuse. So, Susan, let's just jump right back in. I'm just feeling so grateful to have you on the show. Tell the listeners about your book, if you would. Why you wanted to write it, and tell us about what it will be like for them to read the book.
Well, sure. Thank you for giving me this platform to do this.
You're so welcome.
So the book is a short book, and it's there's not any scientific facts in it. You know, it's just my experience with my journey on healing from the child abuse. And like, I have each chapter is written into, let's talk about shame, let's talk about triggers, let's talk about boundaries, and, you know, let's talk about the need to heal. And so that's why I wrote the book, just to let other survivors know how normal they are and how abnormal the event was, and if they are able to, like, take a step back and look at it without the overwhelm that is so, you know, it's almost like a sock sitting on a foot, you know, with the overwhelm. So that was one of the reasons why I wrote it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So tell us a little more about the different chapters, what you go into.
Well, for instance, talking about shame, you know, shame, first of all, shame is like one of the lowest vibrations in our world, in our, on the earth. And shame, it took me years, and I kind of laugh now when I say this, but it took me years to understand that what even the word was, you know, to remember it, you know. And I mean, of course, you know, I dictionary, but to bring it to me, it was just like this concrete block. And it's important to understand about shame and the, you know, we all carry shame. We don't need to carry anyone else's shame. We all have our own shame. And I came up with this metaphor of shame, equaling it to like a spider's web, and that you, the survivor or the reader, are the insect that gets trapped in the web. And it's hard for the insect, sometimes impossible, to remove itself from the web. And that's, you know, when I think of that, I think of how shame felt to me when I wrote this book. You know, that I was just like trapped in my abuser's shame. Yes. And I couldn't tell where my shame ended and theirs began. It was just like, and of course, you know, it was just so massive to dissect it and to be able to understand it. So now, like, I'm able to say, I feel shame, as opposed to I'm bad, or I'm not worthy. You know, those are feelings. That's your shame poking through. Another chapter is talking about triggers. You know, so it's funny because so many people have asked me, especially when I was in my, you know, especially the people who love me and were trying to help me, they would be, well, what sets you off, so that they could protect me, so that they could support me and not being triggered. Mm-hmm. The thing about triggers is that they're, you know, for me, I could hear a door slam and get triggered. You know, I can have someone brush up against my arm completely innocently and get triggered. You know, so it becomes, it's like not about, you know, what you can do to control your environment. It's about what you can do to take care of yourself and to know that, to keep yourself aware that you are in the present world. And if I may, you know, go on about that, one thing that has helped me immensely with triggers is to feel, like feel my coat, feel the furniture wherever room I'm in, you know, feel whatever, because that helps keep me grounded before I slip down what I call like the rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. Where it's so hard I can't get myself back up without someone helping me.
Yes, yes. So is there a variety of things that can cause you to trigger? Like, you know, the examples you gave. And is it kind of like a PTSD? You become frightened? Or is it bringing a memory?
Well, I also have PTSD, and I wouldn't really describe it. I wouldn't describe triggers and PTSD as the same, although I imagine some people would or do. Maybe it's because when I think of triggers, I think of a memory. You know, I mean, actually, as I think about it now, as I'm getting stronger, I can see, I'm able to like pull back and dissect and see, oh, I'm reacting this way because I got triggered. So I would say yes, the answer to your question. Mm-hmm. Now that I look at it, you know, I never didn't think that I would going through a little therapy session on your show, but it worked out perfectly.
Yes.
Because I like am in an environment now where I do, and I am becoming aware, like, oh, that is my PTSD. But before, you know, I couldn't see what it was and what it wasn't, kind of like shame. So yes, in a long answered question, yes, I would say the triggers in PTSD are related.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Sorry about that.
No, that's, thank you. And what's going through my head is, as someone hearing your story and hearing, you know, you explain what you're doing, all this to help others that have gone through this, I'm thinking I'd also love to hear what others who aren't familiar with it, what they can do and help them be aware and be caring and loving and, you know, recognize, or if we have a family member or a friend that has gone through childhood trauma, the best way for us to be there for them. Any suggestions on that note, Susan?
I get asked that question quite a bit, and it's a very hard question to answer because, especially within the immediate family, because, well, first of all, the statistics of child abuse are, in this country, in the United States, are mind-blowing. Like 1 in 3 women before the age of 18 were sexually abused. And I know that there's a lot of, you know, we don't have time to get into all the definitions of abuse stuff. 1 in 6 men before the age of 18. And so if you, you know, those are really high, and those don't include all the people who don't report it. So the odds of 2 people who have history getting together are pretty high. And so it becomes very complicated to look at it like immediate family, how they can support one another when they themselves are the ones in need of the support.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes an enormous amount of patience. And I would say kindness to yourself, which is something that needs to be learned. You know, another thing I would say is, and I'm talking about marriages now, the divorce rate is very high. I mean, you can imagine the consequences of the trauma, you know, and we haven't even talked about, you know, how it affects your body, you know, how it affects the intimacy, of all levels of intimacy, you know, the physical, the verbal, the all of it. So it just, I think what it really comes down to is learning that you are worthy of asking for what you need. Having said that, it's really hard for some of us to get to that point to realize that they are worthy because of the shame. I mean, this is just like so tangled that it takes a lot of focus and awareness to even be realized, you know, what you do need. And for, you know, for like the children that you're raising, like my children, yes, it was hard on them when I was going through the depths of my healing, and they will always have consequences from that. You know, I'm going to be crystal clear on this. This isn't about me continuing the abuse at all. This is about my depression, the PTSD, the memories, you know, all of that has affected them. It's interesting because now that they're grown, they are very compassionate and considering considerate young adults. So there are, I know I'm kind of rambling here, but there's just so many, you know, there's gifts in your children being on the healing journey with you. because, you know, they will pick it up. And likewise, you know, I want the people who are the survivors of child abuse to really give themselves credit, because healing, it does take courage, an enormous amount of courage. And one thing that really is easily overlooked is you're breaking that cycle. I mean, if nothing else, like I talk to my children about this, if nothing else, I have broken the cycle of the generational abuse. Yes. In my family.
Yes.
And they will have consequences. Like I've said, you know, they have consequences from going on the healing journey with me. But their children will have less consequences, and their children will be, God willing, completely free of it.
Yes.
And so if you look, you know, I mean, that, the people who, I mean, it's an enormous gift.
Yes.
To give generations.
Yes. That is, you know, that is so huge. Yes. Because it breaks that cycle. That is fantastic. I love that. Oh, Susan, you are an angel. You really are. I am just so enjoying chatting with you today. This is just such a great honor to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you.
I'm loving it. We do have to pop out for another break, but everyone, don't go away. Susan and I will be right back. Thank you so much. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. I am here with Susan Jacoby, and she has been sharing some amazing inspiration in regard to childhood trauma and healing from that, and you know, living with that and continuing on. And it's just been so inspirational. Susan, I would love to touch on the topic I saw on your website, the 11 tools for happiness. Please share a little bit about that with us. I'm very curious and excited to hear about that.
Well, thank you for asking. I wrote this book because when you're in the depths of depression, or, I mean, you don't even have to be in the dungeon of it. it's really easy to forget that there are ways that you can bring happiness into your life. I mean, even going through day-to-day life, it's easy to forget. And so that's why I created this little book, to remind people that there are ways to bring happiness into our lives. And, you know, another thing I think that people forget, I'll keep this more isolated. I forget that what happiness looks like, or that to take a minute back, you know, we're all so busy and we're used to being busy. And, you know, that's like part of our lives now. And so sometimes there's like no room for happiness in our lives. And that's why, you know, it's good to have a little reminder every so often, you know, like you can bring happiness into your life by laughing, you know, by listening mm-hmm. to music, by, you know, going to a movie in the middle of the week, you know, or to even think about, you know, to volunteer so that you get yourself out of your world into someone else's world. So that's why I wrote the book, and that's why I offer it.
I love it. I love it. And myself, happiness is my favorite theme. It really is. That's why the name of my show. And I'm in the process of writing an ebook called Why Am I So Happy? Because, you know, it's my favorite theme. And I love that you mentioned, you know, the things we can do for happiness. Listen to our favorite music. Sit in our favorite location. And that's all individual. And that makes it so fun, isn't it, that we can create our own little triggers of happiness.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. The other day, and I haven't done this for a really long time, and I don't know what came over me, but the other day, it was like literally in the middle of the afternoon on a weekday, and I decided that I was going to go see a movie. It was like 1 o'clock showing, and I didn't even like question myself. I was like, what am I doing? You know, I was more like, wow, look what I'm doing. And then when I got into the theater, I was the only one in this huge theater. And then two other women came into me and into the theater with me, and they sat behind me. And I thought, really? Look how big this theater is, and you're sitting behind me.
Oh.
But it was fun. It was a lot of fun, actually.
I love it. I love it. A little adventure. I'm going to go see a movie. I love it. And there is such a difference sitting in a theater compared to watching at home.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing I noticed also when I was watching this movie was, since I wasn't with anybody and since there was virtually no one in the theater, that I didn't feel ashamed when I started crying.
Mm-hmm.
Even, you know, at the sappy parts, you know, when
yes.
I started crying.
Yes.
You know, like releasing my emotions.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I love it. I love it. I'm a big crier, boy. So many movies. But it's a great thing to do. You know, I'm not ashamed of it personally at all. I'm just like, I was really touched by the movie. It's a lot of fun. Something on your website I saw that I absolutely fell in love with, Susan, is this quote: "The only person you are destined to become is the person you decide to be." That is just such a powerful statement. That is so beautiful. What brought you to put that on your website? What do you have a story behind that thought?
Well, I don't really have a story, but more of an experience or a mindset, if you will. You know, so many of us, and I'm going to reach out to say beyond people who experience childhood trauma. You know, I believe, I know in the depths of my soul that we are all here, each and every one of us are on this planet to serve a purpose. And when a situation happens, it doesn't matter what the situation is or when it was, it can alter the way we think, which derails our purpose. And it's important to remember or to take your power back, take control, that you may think because a situation happened that your power is gone forever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's simply not true. It means that, you know, a situation happened and it happened. And there's ways to reclaim your life. You know, I always think about the word victim, and, you know, let me know if I need to like cut back a little bit, but, you know, everybody, whenever something happens to you, you are a victim, and that's part of owning your story. That's part of owning your power. You know, I was a victim of child abuse, and there are an enormous amount of gifts that came out of that. You know, I'm very compassionate. I know what it's like to be a victim of pain, of any pain. And I'm not saying that I know what it's like. Say, for instance, let's take, you know, our relationship. You know, I don't know what your experience was when you experienced X, whatever it was, but I can draw on my experience because I've had that experience of the same feeling. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes, it does. Yes, it does. And I am so grateful for how open and honest you are and sharing what you're sharing, Susan.
Well, thank you. What I really want to put focus here is going back to this victim thing, and this is where you are the destiny of who you become, because it becomes a point in your life that you have to declare: Am I going to remain a victim, or am I going to move into my power? And only you, the listener, can make that decision. And whatever decision you make, that's completely your choice. And scream, all capitals, there are consequences of every choice we make.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We could talk about, this could be a whole show in itself.
Yes.
But
yes.
Yeah. But I just wanted to really stress that we are all powerful and capable and loving human beings. And it would serve us to own that gift. That is a gift from God, and it would serve us to own it.
Yes, because we all have it. That is a beautiful message, Susan. It really is. It really is. Could you take a moment and share with the listeners how they can order your book?
Oh, sure. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So you can go to Amazon and type in my name or the title of the book, Susan Jacoby. And it's kind of funny because there's another author, Susan Jacoby, and she spells her name with a Y. I spell my name with an I.
Oh.
J-A-C-O-B-I. Yeah. It's kind of funny because when I didn't design the cover of my book, and even though I am an artist, I don't know why. Then I guess just the energy to write the book. I was like, okay, I'm done. But I wanted, like, when you hold the book, I wanted the title to be covered. So, like, if you're, well, it's a Kindle version, so the hard copy is a little different. But yeah, you can get it on Amazon.
Yes, yes. Now, Susan, with about 5 minutes left in the show today, what inspiration would you like to give to the listeners out there, especially to those who may have suffered childhood trauma? What would you really like to put out there for them?
I'm really glad you asked me that question. I can answer that question for a couple hours.
Uh-huh.
It's really important to know that you are not alone. You may feel like you are alone, and when you feel like you're alone, and before I move on with that, I want to remind, to share that it's important to have that feeling. When you feel like you're alone, when I feel like I'm alone, I cry, or I want to sleep, or watch a movie, or whatever it may be. And it's important to acknowledge that feeling and to serve that feeling. It's mm-hmm. also important to know that I swear to you, you are not alone. I mean, if you don't believe me, which is fine, that's your choice, go to the bookstore and look at all of the, or go on Amazon and look at all of the hundreds of books written on child abuse. And, ask yourself, if I'm so alone, then how come there's so many books here written on exactly how I'm feeling?
Yes.
Another thing that, I would encourage you to do if you are a survivor listening to the show is to learn to be compassionate towards yourself. And, you know, I don't want the listeners thinking, oh yeah, look at Susan, you know, she's got it, you know, she's made her journey and she's at peace. Well, I'm here to tell you that you're seeing the diamond, Susan. You aren't seeing the piece of coal, Susan. And the compassion is really important to learn to bring into your life. And I kind of laugh when I say that because I had a therapist who was as determined to teach me compassion as I was determined to not learn it. And it took me a couple years, you know, that, I mean, it's kind of funny now. I assure you at the time, it was not funny.
Wow.
Yeah, and he did. He did teach me compassion. And compassion, you know, it's none of this, what I've been saying, is a magical pill and you're fixed. Mm-hmm. None of it. Mm-hmm. Every single day is a decision that you make. You know, I'm going to be compassionate towards myself. I'm going to remember how to take care of myself when I'm triggered. I'm going to, we didn't even talk about boundaries. You know, I'm going to remember that I have power and I have the right as a human being because I was born to set up boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a process. Life is a process.
Yes. Oh, that's a fantastic message, Susan. And you're right. One day at a time, in the moment. Yes. I love that. Oh, you're just such an inspiration. Well, before we say goodbye, I'd love to ask, do you see any other books in your future, Susan? I had to throw that out there.
Yeah, I do.
You're on a roll. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, and you know it's interesting. We haven't talked about this, but I write a lot, and I have found that writing has been one of the greatest gifts that I've given to myself.
Oh.
And I kind of laugh because I didn't even like, there was a time, it wasn't a time, there was like 40 years where I didn't even like to read. And so for me to like write this book was like, what?
Wow.
You know, like, why am I writing this book? You know, I mean, I'm an artist, I'm a graphic designer,
oh.
You know, so it was a whole new arena.
Yes.
And I have been thinking about writing a book that is more my story, mm-hmm. let's say,
yeah.
Which is a big step, you know, it's a step yes. into going into being seen, to being more vulnerable,
yes.
You know, so when I get there, I'll yes. let you know.
Oh.
Don't hold your breath, though.
Oh, Susan, you are so awesome. I'm so happy we connected, honey. This, I'm just so happy. Oh, I just want to say thank you and my gosh. And to the listeners out there, I want to say thank you to everyone for being with us today. Love, hugs, and blessings. A happy day to everyone. Susan, love, hugs, and blessings your way.
You too.
Oh, happy day. All righty. Oh, okay. Thank you, Susan. And I will talk to everyone at next show.